Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Well, should I say good evening? But nevertheless, welcome back to another episode of the Bulky Blue Podcast. Now, before I get into the nitty-gritty, I shall basically give my reason as to why I haven't recorded lately. Long story short, my family had some bad health news, or a member in my family, should I say, had some bad health news, and it's not COVID related. I'd say it's a hell of a lot worse than COVID, but it really got to me, and it's not me looking for a sympathy vote. I'm just wanting to give my reasons as to why. But I'm going to do this one today. I'm going to try and push through, keep podcasts coming out, and try and keep going through. So getting into the topic at hand, which is Chelsea and other bits and pieces around today. We made an FA Cup final yesterday, beating Manchester City 1-0. And we did it in brilliant fashion. So we started with Kepa in goal, Aspi, Silva and Rudiger, Reece, Jorginho, Kante, Chilwell, Mount, Ziyech and Werner. Now, Ziyech got the goal, Werner got the assist, and all eyes were on the fact that Tammy Abraham weren't in the squad. Now, it opened up a big debate between Tammy and Timo Werner, and I'm not really sure what to say, because I rate Tammy. I really, really do rate Tammy Abraham. However, it doesn't seem Tuchel does. And when the team's getting results, you can't really argue it. I think that's it now. I think Tammy's gone. Yeah. I really do think that come the summer, he's going to hand in a transfer request, and Olivier Giroud will leave as well, leaving Timo Werner as the sole striker left in the club. We will have Kai Havertz as a secondary striker. It leads me to think we're going to transfer someone. A lot of the rumours are Haaland, Kane, Lukaku, Aguero. They're the big four. Haaland lately, the wages, like the rumoured wages, are just stupid. Mino Raiola. I mean, I know he's Lukaku's agent, but I don't know. Haaland's one of them players where you go for him at all costs, but there is a limit. And the rumoured number I saw was 600 grand a week, which to me is just ridiculous, to say the least. And yeah, I don't think it happens, but going back to Tammy, he's got, I think, 12 goals this season and 5 assists. Now, given the number of minutes he's played, it's a good return. Timo has had 10 goals and 12 assists in 3,080 minutes of football. That's including the assist for Ziyech yesterday. Works out he gets a goal contribution every 140 minutes, which is just more than what every 1.5 games. But people sit there and say he's been a flop. Okay. Then they realise Eden Hazard. We love Eden Hazard. I love Eden Hazard. Many Chelsea fans adore Eden Hazard to the death. And he has one goal contribution every 133 minutes of football. But the kicker, Frank Lampard. Now, I know he's not a striker, but he is the club's all-time leading scorer. He has a goal contribution every 149 minutes. And I know what some people say, yeah, but Timo's a striker, he should be banging in goals. This season, I've said it before on this podcast, how many games has he out and out played as a striker? It hasn't been many. He's made 40 appearances this season, and not even half of them have been as an out-and-out striker. He's been playing as a winger or as an inverted 10. So you've got to look at goal contributions. 10 goals, 12 assists, and he's also won 7 penalties. And to call him a flop, when his goal contribution rate is on the same level as the likes of Lampard, Hazard, etc., I think it's criminal that people write him off purely based on his goals. Has he got the number of goals we all wanted him to get? No. Let's be real. We thought he was going to come in, score 20, 25 goals, score 20, 25 goals, and basically dominate the league. That hasn't happened. And there has been many situations as to why. COVID. That's a big reason. Because no preseason because of it. He's also had no fans backing him in the stadium. He's hasn't had the chance to have a social life because of lockdown. He hasn't been able to bring family over to help him settle here. He's literally come to this country and from minute one, it's been work, 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 work. He hasn't had any time for downtime. And when he is at home, all he's seeing is people tweeting him, abusing him, giving him nothing but shit, calling him fucking Timor Rata and all that. It's like, get off his fucking back. Get off the guy's back. Now, I understand. I think it was Matisse. He came out and said that you should have the same, that people should have the same energy for Tammy. I do. I personally will defend Tammy as well. However, I will also say when Timo's been poor. This season, he has been scapegoated so much because he hasn't scored that people overlook the other contributions he makes when he is on the pitch. 12 assists, as I've mentioned. A few of which have been vital. He's making runs that allow space for other players. And how many times has he also been the guy before the assist maker? Like playing the ball to the likes of, for example, Chilwell or Mount or Kai or whoever it may be. How many times has it been Timo playing that ball to them play the assist and then for the scorer to put it in the net? How many times has that happened this season? And that's why I will always defend Timo. And I will always defend Tammy. But the point I'm trying to make is everyone's sitting there saying Tammy is going to be the be-all and end-all when he comes in. That's not necessarily true. Under Tuchel, granted he hasn't had many appearances, but when he has played, Tammy has looked shocking. He really has. It's, and that's why he's been brought off at half time. Like, it's no coincidence. Tuchel hasn't just brought him off half time just for the sake of it. If you're playing shit, you're coming off. He's done it to Hudson-Odoi. He's done it to Werner. It was against West Brom when we lost 5-2. He actually was going to bring Werner off at half time. And it was only because of Pulisic getting injured that Werner stayed on the pitch. He was going to bring Werner off. There was other results. Who are we playing? I think it was the first leg against Porto. He brought Werner off. Like, he is bringing off players when they're poor. He's not playing players when they're playing poorly. So it's not just an agenda against Tammy. And people need to realise that. It's nothing to do with, like, yes, I do believe he was injured at a point, because you could see him strapping up his ankle and all that in one of the matches, but which I think was the Newcastle game. Which, funnily enough, Timo scored and assisted, because it was Lascelles who absolutely crunched him. But I don't know. It's a difficult one. I mean, chances are we're going to lose him. And it would be a shame, because he does have the talent to then kick on. Or we might be sat here in a year and a half's time going, what a lucky escape. Like, because he might go to another club, might play absolute shit. Who knows? Or he might cause a load of shit. No one knows at this point. I'm not saying he will, I'm not saying he won't. But the point is, Timo isn't going anywhere. He is putting up good numbers. Not goal numbers, but good contribution numbers. So get off his back. Cut the man some slack. If next season he's still not firing in terms of goals, then sort of question it. But then you've got to look at elsewhere. Because the one example that I'll repeatedly bring up, right, is Giroud. Olivier Giroud at the World Cup 2018. With that, Giroud didn't even have a single shot on target. But that French squad, Didier Deschamps, and a lot of them French players and fans will sit there and say that Giroud was a key part as to why they won that World Cup. And why? Because he brought Mbappe, he brought Griezmann, Dembele, Pogba. I can keep going. He brought all of them into the game. And then they scored. They scored for fun. Because of Giroud being a key figure in that team. Now, under Tuchel, we've hardly scored. We've been getting results because of our, barring the West Brom blip, our rock solid tight defence. So, when you, yes, Werner's hardly scored. But the goal, the assists, the goal, the runs in behind that create spaces for the likes of Ziyech, Mount, Kai, Pulisic, whoever's playing, I just think it's very harsh to sit there and call him a flop. And as I said, that's why I will always defend him. But anyway, we move on, because yesterday weren't all about Tammy versus Werner. The goal itself, well, we scored like 6 or 7 minutes in. A ball got played through, funnily enough, to Werner, who made the run, crossed it to, again, funnily enough, Ziyech, and Ziyech put it in the net. Now, Werner was marginally offside. At first glance, I thought it was offside. Then they showed a quick replay, and I thought Cancheo was playing him onside. And then you see it again, he was off, but just. So, fair enough. And then, second half comes about. Ooh. So, I've just got the Leicester versus Southampton game on in the background as well. It's 1-0 Leicester. This is who we find out who we're playing in the final. But yeah, so the goal then comes about, and I'll go get on to another thing in a minute. And it's a breakaway on the left-hand side. Chilwell, I think it was, gives it to Mount. Mount then plays Werner through along the wing. Werner's running towards the box, and Werner puts it across the box, and again, Ziyech taps it in. 1-0. Sweet as. The game then carries on. City are pushing, and trying to get the equaliser to try and take it to extra time. In the 92nd minute, Pulisic had the ball in the net for the third time. Like, not Pulisic's third time, but had the ball in the net for Chelsea's third goal of the day. But that was disallowed as well for, again, I think, an offside. And It was beautiful to see, because we were so rock solid at the back that I've given him a lot of shit, but even Kepa was brilliant in helping that. Made a couple of good saves and did nothing wrong, commanded his box and didn't give the defenders any nerves. And fair play. But the biggest culprit into making our defence as rock solid as it is has to be the main man himself, Tommy T. He has come in. We were leaking goals like a nan leaks piss. Like, we may as well have been the widest. Our defence was socially distancing from attackers. We were that open. And they were just going straight through, scoring goal after goal after goal after goal after goal. We were getting battered. Now, again, the West Brom result happened. We lost 5-2. It was a blip. But under Lampard, and again, I love Lampard, we had 3-1 against Arsenal, 3-1 against City. We had 5-3 against Liverpool last season. We conceded three or more on many occasions. 3-0 against Southampton, 3-0 against West Brom. Like, 4-0 against Man United last season. We conceded so many goals on so many occasions. And Tuchel has come in, and West Brom game aside, we haven't conceded more than one goal in a match. We've had 19 matches, I think, with Tuchel as manager, and we've kept clean sheets in 14 of them. We've conceded one against Sheffield, one against Southampton, one against Porto. Five against West Brom. Who's the other one? I'm sure there was another one. But point is, 8, maybe 9 goals conceded in 19 games. And yeah, Tuchel is a very big, big part of it. He's put Mount on another level that we didn't even think was possible. We all, I'm assuming most of us agreed that Mount was our player of the season before Tuchel took over. Because it seemed like Mount was the only one single-handedly trying to save Lampard's job. And then Tuchel's come in, didn't play Mount for the first game, and he said why, wanted experience, blah, blah, blah. Mount has played himself back into his lineup, and he's gone on to a new level. Like, Mount has made himself one of the best players in the Premier League level. Not just, like, Mount is exceptional. End of. People tell me about Foden, Grealish, because of how many chances they created. In terms of chances created, no one in the Prem has more chances created than Mason Mount. But you won't hear that because he's Chelsea. Because he's Lampard's son. Because he's Tuchel's son. It's bollocks. Mount is class. He is exceptional. End of. And he is a big reason as to why we, not only are we in an FA Cup final, he's a big reason as to why we are in a Champions League semi-final. The last podcast I did was when we drew Porto in the Champions League. We made it through Porto. We won 2-1 on aggregate. And now we go on and play Real fucking Madrid. And Hazard come, the whole narrative of Hazard coming home, Courtois against us and all that. The one thing that I would have loved would have been to see Chelsea go to the Bernabeu full of fans. That, even if fans were allowed in, that ain't happening because they're renovating the stadium. Speaking of fans, actually, just on a side note, there are 4,000 fans at Wembley for the Leicester semi-final. Even 4,000, it's a 90-seater stadium, 90,000-seater stadium, but even 4,000, they can make so much noise, and it's so brilliant to hear genuine fans again. So there should be fans for the Champions League final, actually. But anyway, I'm sidetracking again. I would have loved to have seen Chelsea play in the Bernabeu. However, fans in that game would have been a very, very bad factor. I think, anyway. Because them Real Madrid fans are mental. And they love Zidane. They love a lot of them players. Like your Ramoses, Casemiro, Cruz, Modric. They love them all. It was only really Bale they had the big issue with. And I would have loved to see, I would love to see the Chelsea fans back at the bridge. Especially when Hazard comes back. And then you got old snaky big nose coming out and saying that I would have loved to have played this game in front of Chelsea fans. Dude, if he was to play in front of Chelsea fans, he would need an escort out of that stadium. And not in a good way. You think it's bad that the Liverpool team bus got broken. Like the window got smashed on the team bus in Liverpool. He would get fucking hounded out of London quicker than he came in. The way that Courtois left Chelsea was a fucking disgrace. And for him to even come out and say that, the cheek of it, nah, mate. It's all about Spider Mendy in goal. It's all about fucking Tuchel, not you, go away, fuck off. It's as simple as that. We don't need you. We never needed you. We gave up everything for you. And you shat all over us. So no, as far as I'm concerned, Tuchel can go, not Tuchel, Courtois, I love Tuchel by the way, Courtois can go and sod himself. And I hope to God that Mount and Werner nutmeg him, put the ball in the net, and they both give him the middle finger as they run on celebrating. Because that would be the biggest shithouse ever. Just, oh, I really hope, really, really, really hope that Mount at least scores against him. Because it'll be the new generation of Chelsea scoring against that generation of Chelsea. And yeah, oh, it'll be magnificent. Oh, I can't even. Can we go all the way? I've made a deal with LMC from 1905. One of they do like 1905 or another podcast group for Chelsea, and I made a deal with one of the members of that, and I said that when we lost to West Brom, I turned and I made a prediction that we'd win 4-0 before the game. And I said, right, I'm not doing any more predictions, because whenever I predict a result, we lose. And since then, I haven't predicted, and we haven't, well, we've lost in 90 minutes, but we haven't lost, in a sense, because we went through against Porto, and I'm sticking to that. I'm not going to predict whether we're going to win, lose, draw. Obviously, I want us to win. But I'm not going to predict whether we do or not. And there's every chance we can go all the way in the Champions League. We're in the final of the FA Cup. Speaking of, there's only 3.5 minutes left in the Leicester-Southampton game. Leicester winning 1-0. You got City versus PSG, because PSG beat Bayern Munich. They also beat Barcelona the round before. Man City, they're playing the Carabao Cup final next week. So they got the Carabao Cup final on the 25th. And then on the 28th, they've got their first leg against PSG. So there's every chance that they're either going to be drained and PSG pump them. But there's one of three options. They're either going to be bouncing off the walls that they pump PSG. They're going to be drained that PSG are going to pump them. Or they're going to be angry about a Jose Mourinho shithouse. And they're going to go for PSG. And it's promising to be a very, very good matchup. All four teams currently left in that competition can win it. It's as simple as that. All four can. And to say that they can't, because everyone I've seen online so far that isn't a Chelsea fan, because we're on cloud nine right now, every non-Chelsea fan or non-Real Madrid fan, or basically you take the fans of the clubs that are in it, you take them out of it, everyone else is saying that the winner of the PSG City tie wins the tournament. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on Chelsea and Real Madrid, you know, I really do, because they're not going to just turn up to the final and lay down because it's, oh, it's PSG, I'm scared. Oh, it's Man City, I'm scared. We've already proven we can compete against City. We can beat City. And if you ask me, in, 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, when we play them in the league, I would happily take a 6-0 pounding that night if it meant us beating them in a Champions League final. Thing is, by then we'll find out if we're in the final or not, and who we're playing in the final, because it's the 27th. The first legs are the 27th and 28th of April, and then the following week, which is the 4th and 5th of May. So we could actually be going to a Champions League final on Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And it's brilliant. It really is. We're back among the European elite right now. Speaking of, actually, before I wrap this up, there has been, hold on, before I get to this, Southampton have got a free kick about 40 yards out. It's literally added time's up. They're crossing it into the box now. Kasper Schmeichel claims it, drops to the floor. That should be it. Game over. There you go. Game over. We play Leicester in the FA Cup final. Roll on. Which is actually funny enough because we play them twice in 3 days. Oh, mate. We play them on the 15th in the FA Cup final, and then we play them 19th in the league 4 days later. And then 4 days after that, on the 23rd, we got the final day of the season. It's mad. We got to play Leicester twice in 3 days or 4 days at the back end of the season. But anyway, going back to European elite. So a lot of talk come out today about a proposal for this European Super League. I don't like the idea. It seems to be just a scheme to make the richer teams richer and the poorer teams having absolutely no fucking chance of getting in Europe's premier competition. The reward for having a consistent season right now is Champions League football or European football. West Ham are on the cusp of European football. Leicester are on the cusp of Champions League football again. They won Champions League football when they won the league. Well, they earned Champions League football when they won the league. So with this European Super League, which is supposedly the big six from England, so the big six, not the best six, the big six. So you got Arsenal, Chelsea. So I'm just writing this down as I speak. United, Liverpool, the other two, which I don't think are the biggest clubs in England. City and Spurs, right? Then you got the likes of Barca, Real, Bayern, PSG, Juve, no doubt Inter and AC. I haven't seen them confirmed. So Milan's, I'm assuming Atletico will be there. One, two, three, four, five. Yep. You're no doubt going to have the likes of a Porto or Benfica. Some like a Portuguese team. It's basically going to be the mega money houses in European football. And yes, while it would be nice to sit there, have elite games every week, like, I don't know, you'll have City versus PSG, and you'll have Chelsea versus Bayern Munich, and you'll have all these games week in, week out, and yes, that would be it would be special to watch. But what it would do for the pyramid of football would just completely bend it over and fuck it. It would ruin it. Because then what happens is, I don't know, you get an anomaly season like Leicester winning the league. You get that happening. So, I don't know. For example, Leeds win the title, right? Leeds first. And because the Spurs are a bunch of bolt jobs and I hate them, they finish 15th, right? Just for argument's sake. According to this European Super League, Spurs would get in it. But Leeds wouldn't. The only way it would work would be if they had a separate one. So rather than, so the Big Six can qualify every year for that one. But then you take their spots out of the Champions League. So they're not in this European League and the Champions League at the same time. So that your likes of, so that the likes of Leeds, or I don't know, the top four teams in England that aren't those six teams. So this year it'll be, so this year it'll be Leicester, West Ham, Everton, and I think it is actually Leeds. So it'd be those four teams going to the Champions League, the Big Six going to the European Super League against the likes of Bayern, Barca, and etc. etc. So then it gives other countries in Germany, France, Spain, Italy, Portugal, gives other teams further down a chance to play European football. So if they did it like that, it would work. But that's not what it's deeming to be. What's been proposed, from what I've read and from what I understand, is that although this new Super League would rival the Champions League, teams wouldn't get in it based on merit. And the only, it's always going to be a difficult one, because on one hand, you got fans sitting there saying, let's boycott, but as soon as it comes available that, oh, look, Chelsea play this, Arsenal play this, Man United play this, you know, Liverpool play these, it will then become, fans will then, it's a natural reaction, because fans will sit there and say, oh my God, we're playing so-and-so club. But what it would do, the harm it would do to the rest of the pyramids of every country involved, it would ruin their football pyramids. It would ruin it. We'd lose, alright, well, we wouldn't lose. We'd still have the likes of the Championship and all that, but the only other way I can see it is if, like, they had a relegation promotion system. So, like, the winner of who's left in the Prem, so, like, the Big Six leave the Prem, and then, say, for example, Leicester win the Prem next season with the Big Six out of it. They then replace the worst English team. So, say, for example, Chelsea finished bottom of the English teams. Chelsea drop out of it. Leicester go into it. And it'll be the same, say, in Italy. Juve and the Milans are in there. And then you got Lazio, for example, win Serie A. The bottom one drops out. Lazio take their spot. Have that European Super League as the pinnacle, and the worst one from each country can get relegated. Not if you're in the bottom five, No, if you're the worst team from your country, you drop out. And then the best team from outside that division in your country goes up. That would be a way to make it work. So have a set number, because there's going to be six from England. Or don't actually put City and Spurs in there. Well, maybe City, because they're... Put Chelsea, United, Liverpool, City in there. Don't put Arsenal in, because for years they've been against it. Well, they've been shit. Spurs are shit. They're a shit club. Have four from Spain, four from Italy, four from France, four from Germany, four from, I don't know. Say 24 teams. Make a league table. And then, yeah, have it like that. So then you have a full season. The worst one from each country goes down. Then the best ones from each of their countries in the other leagues, the league below, comes up. Have a promotion and relegation system in place. So that even if it goes City, Chelsea, United, Liverpool as the top four in this division, Liverpool will drop down as the fourth team. Have it like that. Rather than six come down and then the six champions come up. So that in 5-10 years, all the Portuguese teams or whatever other league it may be, all of them are gone and it's just full of other English teams and other Spanish teams, other German teams, and et cetera, et cetera. No one knows how it works. And even then, it might not be actually put forward. It's a proposal right now, mainly by Perez, the Real Madrid owner, the Kroenkes, the Glazers, Henry. So basically, Arsenal, United, Liverpool, and Real Madrid are the big four names that I've seen. The big six in the Premier League has been mentioned, but not out and out named. But ultimately, it'll be put down to, as far as I've read and I've interpreted, it'll be put down to a Premier League vote. And then the Premier League clubs will decide on if they want it to pass or not. Six of them will obviously vote yes. The big six will vote yes. However, the vote will be outweighed 14-6. And it'll be denied. If the other teams in Europe then want to go for it, go for it. Just the Prem teams won't be involved. Simple as that. And the football pyramid has worked for over 150 years. Why fix something that's broken? Why try and fix something that isn't broken? That's my question. It's not broken. Don't try and fix it. The football pyramid is... Yes, there is a lot of problems at the top end. There is a lot of problems when it comes to the FA, when it comes to UEFA, FIFA. But when it comes to the ultimate be-all and end-all, which is the football, the clubs, the fans, the players, it's pure for the most part. And in the Premier League, you see a lot of players sitting there wanting to go for money. And all right, maybe that's true. But I might be in this false belief, but I still believe that these players know that if they get to that level, the money's there. So play for a team and a club and for fans that make you happy. Put your heart and your soul into it. Because a lot of fans, many fans, and even if you don't like football, people would kill to have the money they're making. And majority of them started playing football because they loved it. They loved playing football. And when you see in the game that we all love being tarnished by money-grabbing assholes, you hope, you just hope that some form of sense prevails. And if Chelsea are putting forward to be a part of it, it's going to be gutting. Of course it's going to be gutting. But does that mean I'm going to stop supporting my club? No. But what it does mean is that for other teams that aren't in the position that Chelsea are in, that United are in, Arsenal, City, with big money owners, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them. It's going to be really tough for them. And I don't think it will ruin football, because teams, TV, they'll always want something. They will always want a part of it. I just hope that if this Super League does pass, there is at least some form of reward system for the clubs that aren't in it, for their chance to get into it, for their chance to compete amongst those if they've had the league season that gives them that opportunity. Because if you've had a, as I've said, if you've had a banging league season, thinking, "Kushti, I'm going to get in the Champions League," and then you can't because of this Super League, that's when it'll become a problem. If it then comes that, all right, you won't get into Europe, but what will happen is you will get your chance to compete in this Super League and earn the type of money that these teams are earning and have your go at some of these big teams, that is when it becomes worth it for these teams. But as far as I've seen, nothing like that has even remotely been mentioned. So we've got to take it as it comes by now, right now. It's all we can do. And unfortunately, if there's anything that's come out the past year when no fans have been in stadiums, is that in this country and amongst European elite, fans are simply customers. It's as simple as that. We're customers. They don't need us in stadiums like teams lower down the pyramid do. They don't need us. Of course they want us, because not just for the custom side of it, because it does help the team. It does push the team forward. But they've gone perfectly well for the past year without fans. It's not a big issue for these European elite clubs. It's not an issue. And with the likes of some owners who, yes, they're rich billionaires who are, well, they're billionaires, they're mega wealthy, but like, for example, you got the Kroenkes, the Glazers, who see football purely as a business. It's purely a money scheme. And yes, to the likes of Roman Abramovich, it's that too. But there's a big difference. Roman in particular is the one I know because I support Chelsea. The way he reacts when we score goals, the way he reacts when we win trophies. First and foremost, the guy is a fan. He's just in a very privileged position to do something about it. And I think that is where the difference lies with the likes of the Kroenkes and the Glazers. And we'll have to wait and see. That's all we can do right now. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Wait and see if it even passes. Wait and see if it comes about. If it does, as I said, I'm not going to stop supporting Chelsea. But that is going to be the end of this podcast. Once again, I just want to apologise for being away for so long. If you did enjoy it, please share this podcast around. It means the absolute world to me. Leave it a review on Apple. It'll be anything you can do to help me is brilliant. Follow me at Twitter at CookCO4. That is COOKEC04. And until the next time, guys, keep the blue flag flying high. And blue is the colour. Goodbye.